KTS on KMOX 307. One of my favorite people in the world is here.
Shucks.
Will Pelly, who I've known for 25 years.
Easy.
And haven't seen in 15.
I know.
But for real, like in the Glover Museum, the Will wing is one of my favorites.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah, like...
It means a ton.
One of the best musicians in town, and we met when I started my first Dave Glover band with Dave and Greg and Mark Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to play Enigma all the time.
Yeah, Club Enigma, Enigma Lounge.
And sometimes we were the only ones there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But we had a blast.
All seven of us.
God, we had a great time.
Yeah, it was good times back then.
So much fun.
Different times.
Very different.
Yeah. There was still a Leclede's Landing back
yes,
then.
Yes, crazily different.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Big time.
Introduce your better half.
This is my better half, Rebecca.
Hi.
Rebecca, nice to meet you.
Blue-haired Rebecca.
Yeah. So you may know Will from his restaurants and or from the bands he plays in, but I don't know what made me think of you. I think like putting together my new Dave Glover band, I'm like, Will freaking Pelly. Like, man. And I told Andrew, I'm like, get him on. He's like, what for? I'm like, I just want to see him. I just want to hang out with him again.
Yeah, man, it's been too damn long.
Yeah.
Too damn long.
Catch me up. Tell me, like, back when we were hanging, you weren't the chef, or at least I didn't know it.
No, I was trying to make it in the music business, and in a band called Neptune Crush with Jimmy Griffin, who's obviously your listeners know.
Yeah,
Eric Lysett, who's now in Super Jam, and Eddie Spinayo,
love Eddie,
who I'm playing in a cover band with now.
Cool.
We fought our battles and almost got a record deal, and when that fizzled, I started cooking. Because there's only so many Tom Petty songs you could cover before you just go, I can't
go
do this
bonkers.
Anymore.
Yeah.
So I started cooking and kind of made a name for myself being the rock star or the rock chef.
Yeah.
Started catering for some bands and, we decided, hey, we should open up a little taco joint.
Yeah.
And we did out in Newtown, St. Charles. And kind of outgrew it and opened a place on the hill. And that's where we've been
four and a half years.
Yeah.
And threw in the towel on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Because it's time. We're going out on top. You know, we're not making excuses. You know, I'm not blaming anything. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you we had my good buddy Jeff Fitter on, who owns Super Smokers, and they shut down after like 30 years.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's a lot of the same reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and like we talked about, I don't know when the glory days were to own a restaurant, but if you go back to those days, 85, 90, 95, whatever it is, it was hard as hell back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now it's nearly impossible.
Yeah, I talked to, I'm in a band called My Posse in Effect. It's like a tribute to the Beastie Boys. And I was talking to one of the members, and he works at a very, very fast-paced restaurant in Webster Groves. You can probably figure out which one it is. And he said that even as much money as those servers are making, they're still having turnover problems. Yeah. It's just it says a lot.
What are some of the major things contributing to so many restaurants shutting down?
I think...
we can only speak for ourselves, but like we're physically and mentally exhausted.
Yeah. It's done.
Been just the two of us doing literally everything, every aspect of it.
I mean, employees, keeping employees. We managed to keep our kitchen staff for the most part, and we paid them very well, and we didn't get checks because of the, that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
But, after 7 years of just keeping a roof over our heads, it's like, okay, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
So
we're getting up there.
Yeah.
What was the best part of it? What did you love the most about?
It's all hurt.
Hands down, community.
Yeah.
We have regulars who are neighbors who have become friends. We've seen
first dates, marriages,
engagements,
kids.
Babies. We've been a part of so many people's lives, and they've truly become our friends.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
absolutely, hands down, the best part
about
it. Because other than that, there's really nothing nothing glorious about, hey, I own a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, you should see my shoes I wear every day.
Yeah. You'll be asleep and you put your hands up and you smell onions and you're like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep a post-it next to the bed so when I wake up at 2 a.m, I remember what I forgot.
Yeah. Right. Right. Damn.
So yeah, we've had a lovely five days.
Yeah. It's been pretty awesome.
I bet. Eventually I'll quit doing this. Maybe they'll make me. Maybe I'll do it on my own terms. I don't know. But I think a lot about, what am I going to do that first week? Like, a lot of parts I wouldn't miss. I'd be like, oh, I don't have show prep. I don't have to do this. But
this.
Yeah, phone's in the trash. That must be an amazing feeling.
Oh, it's great. People, you get to see people on your terms instead of them coming, on theirs. Yeah. So it's kind of nice.
Our first Taco Tuesday, not working in the books yesterday, uh-huh. Having cocktails on a sunny porch. Who would have thought
beautiful.
That was happening?
Yeah, this weather is crazy, and I'm staring at a roaring fire.
It's relaxed.
Discomfort.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah. If you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to Will and Rebecca. Will Pelley, I've known for 25 years.
Easy.
Back when we used to play together all the time, and we were young and just having a blast.
25 years younger.
25 years younger, yeah.
My God.
We thought we had it figured out.
No, I didn't. Not at all. I mean, look at the path I chose.
You're such a natural creative.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people go back and forth between the restaurant business, playing music, do them both.
Yeah. And if you think about what we did at the restaurant, we had a special almost every day, and some of the names of the tacos were ridiculous, like shrimp biscuit. It was all music related.
Yeah.
Amy Swinehouse.
Mo Honey, Mo Problems.
Yeah, Mo Honey, Mo Problems. You know, just all. And the end game is to make somebody smile.
Yeah.
And that's the same as playing music.
Yeah.
That's the end game.
Yeah.
You're giving a part of yourself to make somebody else happy.
Yeah.
So
if someone listening out there had a bunch of money and said, oh, I love your place, let me fund you for a new place.
Here, just buy everything off me. I will sell it. So I don't want to be the boss anymore.
Well, it's good. I'm so glad to hear you be like this,
uh-huh.
as opposed to be full of angst about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
No, like I said, we've
been at peace about the whole thing.
We decided to do this. It's not we weren't forced. It's not that we weren't making money. A lot of the people who came during the last couple of weeks, they were like, oh my God, you should have let everybody know 6 months ago. I said, That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about coming to terms with your own mental health.
Yeah.
You know, we started, bickering a lot more than we should have.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
love you.
And, no restaurant is going to come between that.
You're still here.
I feel like there's color coming back into my skin. And,
yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah. I mean, we were out, if somebody wants to buy the recipes.
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
They're getting bigger.
I'm writing a cookbook.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, we got big plans to finally reap the benefits of our hard
work
these 7 years.
So tell me about your bands. You're always in a million bands.
I know. I still am.
Just three.
My Posse in Effect, tribute to the Beastie Boys. We just played the pageant the day before Thanksgiving. We have a big show announcement coming up. I can't talk about.
Okay.
But it's going to be a big summer show.
Okay.
And then I play in a band called Broken Jukebox.
I love this one.
Yeah. And,
so much fun.
We play the first Sunday of every month at Broadway Oyster Bar, and you come up to the stage and you get a little piece of paper and it has two requests on it, and you pick two songs and you hand it to us, and we then mash those two songs together. So
on demand.
So
Dolly Parton and Judas Priest, and they make it happen.
That makes my brain hurt just hearing
it. It's amazing.
So, yeah, we'll play Jolene, but sing Living After Midnight,
What did you do the other day? I requested AC/DC and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And so we played.
Oh, you shake it off
all night long.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
that's the first Sunday of every month?
Sunday of every month.
At the Oyster Bar.
Our old stomping grounds.
Yeah, we're kind of taking over between
cows.
You and Steve Ewing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, it's a trip, man. But happiness is the goal for this year. And so I've got some irons in the fire. And actually, I'm not allowed to talk about my possible new job due to an NDA.
Okay. So,
but
you're going to be a spy?
Yeah.
Take a look.
I look like a walrus.
That's what the niece and nephew call him, is Uncle Walrus.
Well, if you start cooking for bands again and they're metal bands, there's your sous chef right there.
Right there.
Boom. I'll be your, I'll be the bus boy.
Bus boy.
Yeah. Thanks, Carrie Crap. I was a server. So.
Yeah. We actually, the whole reason, so I came up with a seasoning that we call Rockstar Dust. And this is a
big plans for that in the new year also.
Yeah. Good. We'll be selling that online.
Okay.
But the reason that came to be is we got a phone call from the production manager out at Riverport Amphitheater or Hollywood Casino or whatever it is this week.
Yeah.
It was for ZZ Top's crew.
Yeah.
And so we shut down the shack, brought all the food out, and Becca had the foresight to bring this little, like a little sugar shaker.
We used to mix it by hand.
We'd mix it by hand. And Ted Kornblum, who owns Magnetone Amplifiers, came back to the area where we were and said, "Hey, does Billy know you're making tacos back here?" I said, "Billy doesn't know who the hell I am." And he goes, "I'll be right back." And in walks Billy Gibbons and, shades, the hat.
Yeah.
The look, the beard.
I'm about to piss myself.
Yeah.
My dad's not going to believe it.
Yeah. You could hear a fart and it would just go, because our asses were just clenched. And he's walking, he's poking through everything, and you can hear his cowboy boots clicking on the ground. And he gets to this sugar shaker. And he pours them into his hand, pulls his beard back, and gullets the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and says, "Are you responsible for this?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah. And he slides his glasses down and says, "MF'er, we gots to talk." And he told the security guard, "Get everybody out." And we sat and talked with Billy Gibbons.
We were stuck there.
We were stuck.
Till 4 a.m.
4 a.m, drinking.
Talking about spices.
Yeah, talking about spices. And he goes, "Come on." And I go up on his bus and he's like, don't worry. My wife's not with me. I live like I'm 10 years old because it's just crap everywhere.
Yeah.
But he was pulling spices out. And so his famous coat, there's a place for 2 shotgun shells.
Okay.
And one of them has his bottle of Tabasco.
It's like a cute little mini bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other pocket is Rockstar Dust.
Wow.
Oh. So he's the one who convinced us to bottle it.
Yeah.
The first time.
What a great story.
Yeah.
About as much as we do.
Right before COVID. And he wanted his buddy, this is really weird to say, my buddy Ted Turner, they were doing a cruise. It was a Turner Classic Movie cruise.
Right.
And he wanted to give each person a bottle of this stuff and so that they could put it on popcorn. And so at the restaurant, we offered ZZ Pop. So instead
of too many good ideas to not be doing something.
Instead of chips and salsa, you got a bucket of popcorn.
Uncle Billy's favorite way.
Yeah.
Promise you're going to come back when you can talk about these things. Right.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Becca, great to meet you.
You too.
Will, I love you,
man,
my brother.
Love you to death, man. So glad.
Me too.
Come here.
Welcome back, DGS 324. It disappeared with time, it never. So great to see Will again, Will Pelly. To me, it's always going to be Will from Neptune Crush. And it kind of dovetails into a little thought I had today. I wrote down that some of the best times you ever have in your life are with people you'll never see again. And I thought that was just kind of interesting. And I hadn't seen Will in 15 years, could have easily gone and not seen each other again. And back when it was, him and Jimmy and Eric and Eddie and Dave Glover Band and playing together at Enigma. And it was just one of the best times of my life. So it's so great to see someone from that time and still have that love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've had that kind of stuff, usually it feels like you're just picking right up where you left off.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, what time? Time didn't pass. What are you talking about?
You don't have to say who it is, but do you guys have people, say, from 25 years in your past? Not you guys, could be 10, but, you know, relatively, that you're like, God damn, I'd love to see this person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, high school and college friends, you all live in different parts of the country. It's hard to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And those are, I mean, I think those are really special friendships where it's like, yeah, we don't necessarily talk all the time, but when we do see each other, there's still a ton of love there. And it's kind of like you never missed a step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a buddy of mine, Danny Davis, was one of my first funny friends. Like, where you're like, you're a comedy team. You're making everyone else laugh. You're making each other laugh. And I'd love to see Dan again. Do you remember your first funny friend?
This is me.
Andrew's just looking at me myself.
No, I do. His name was Nathan. This sounds like that police academy or police squad bit where we're like, I lived with a guy once.
I got nothing for the next 60 seconds.
Well.
Just found out on Facebook that your podcast you recorded with Rennie Knott is out on Friday, Dave.
Nice.
Cool.
So The Rundown with Rennie Knott comes out this Friday morning. Check it out, Dave Glover Show listeners.
I did just find out that cow tipping is a fallacy.
Really?
I grew up in the country and people used to talk about cow tipping.
No.
And I guess it's like snipe hunting, or you just go out and drink or have sex or something and you say you're cow tipping.
Good.
But evidently it's impossible to tip a cow.
Oh, that I didn't know, but good. I'm glad that it is, because that's kind of a mean thing to do.
So people are just lying when they say they do it?
Evidently so.
Joel is saying, I see Rachel showing a sign off camera and I'm always dying with curiosity.
Which sign is showing?
I guess this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She just writes mean, dirty things on it.
I say, I am so sick of you.
I can't do this anymore. I will kill you.
Dave, shut up. The want to go home sign.
Shut up, Dave. I hate you. When all your enemies are friends. On board, I'm the captain. So climb aboard. Welcome back, DGS 335. Mitch, sorry to tell you, but Dave's not with us today. He is with Janice at a doctor's appointment. So I can tell you that it's going to rain like a mofo tomorrow night.
We do have his forecast if you'd like to hear it.
I just did it.
He also sent along a message. He didn't want to deal with Mitch today.
Okay.
So that was, he was like, hey, I'm going to I'm at the doctor, but the real reason, I just don't want to deal with
Mitch. Makes sense. No, Ray, play whatever you got.
Okay, and Dave Murray's weather forecast is sponsored by Financial and Tax Strategies.
For early January, it is a very nice afternoon of weather, mostly sunny skies, a little cooler than yesterday. 61 will do it for the high. Tonight, the clouds take over, but it's dry this evening. It's dry overnight, 45. It's wet on Thursday. Southwest storm system, periods of rain, and it is all rain. It's a windy 62. Rain ends by about midnight on Thursday night. Friday, cloudy skies dominate, a little bit of peekaboo sun, 56 on Friday. Another cold front, a stronger cold front coming by Friday night, but we are well above the freezing point. A couple of showers Friday night, very limited, but we're colder for the weekend. Saturday 46, Sunday the coldest 37. From the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dave Murray on 104.1 FM KMOX.
See, you didn't even have to say the Saliga part.
Yeah,
it was already in there.
Made it easy. Joel was asking what Rach is doing when she holds up her little grease board. If you guys ever have questions about how we do the show or why we do the show, you can always ask us, and if we can answer it, we will. I think it's pretty cool. Like, I still remember the very first time I walked into an air studio when I was on as a guest with Stephen DC. I had my company, Common Ground Mediation. They were doing lives for me. I came in and did a hit, just like we have, you know, clients come in, Mark Cantor, whoever. And that was my very first time in a studio. Stephen DC were a huge deal back then. And it was just like, oh my God, it was crazy.
Joel's making me laugh because he said, I generally assume it's to say it's time to go to commercial, which is what it is. Or that a bathroom emergency is happening. So
like six times a day.
Yeah, 10 times a day. I'm like, I have to go. Please let me go. And every time Dave's like, no, you're not allowed
to go. Every time Dave's like,
you
no,
hold it.
I have to do a live spot. You will sit.
Rach is a trooper though, because
I'm the only one who has to like get someone to cover for me.
No, and I do when she's out and I'm running the board. I'm the same. I victimize myself. I'm like, no one understands.
Everyone can just go to the bathroom. No one even knows they're going to the bathroom.
I'm not allowed to even walk away. Do I want to? No, but I can't.
Yeah.
I was watching an interview with a NFL player. I don't know his name. He's kind of an OG though. And they said, we understand that you just pee your pants. And he said, yes. He said, one time early in my career, I missed a series of plays. And I guess maybe it cost him the game or something. And since then, I just go.
Okay, so he's a crazy person.
I mean.
You said he was in the NFL?
Yes.
I mean, those pants look like they would contain the pee pretty well.
Yeah, they're all sweating anyway. Like, it's really hard to tell. It depends on the circumstances and environment, I'm sure.
It definitely doesn't have anything to do with CTE. I know that much.
Oh,
jeez, Andrew.
Damn.
I know the line of thinking that leads you to, I'll just pee my pants.
I mean, we got dummies that'll do it on purpose just for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's true. I was just telling that story.
This guy is just trying to get his job done and help his team win.
I was just telling that story about like the people that go to like the New Year's Eve stuff in Times Square or whatever, and you always hear like, yeah, you got to wear a diaper because there's absolutely no way to get to a bathroom for like 17 hours. Ugh, no thank
you. Was it Channing Crowder that you saw say that? Does that name sound familiar, Dave?
I don't know who I saw talking about.
I would probably know if I saw him.
Okay.
They could bring the Beatles back, and I wouldn't wear a diaper to go wait and see them.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound pleasant.
No.
Like, I got nothing against wearing the diaper, but then using the diaper and then existing with the used diaper.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between wearing it
and
using it.
Like, a nice dry diapy is like, okay, fine.
Well, there's a difference between... I'll wear a diaper.
Like, yeah, I'll wear one all day.
There's also
I don't
a
care.
Difference between...
To each their own.
Yeah. There's a difference between needing one and putting yourself in a bad situation where you have to choose to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, no shade to someone who needs it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be any one of us at some point. Yeah. But if you're like 35 or 40 and you're just like, because I want to do this thing, I'll just pee in my diaper. A little weird. Tells me that thing is not worth doing.
I'm going to cut out Wheeler saying I'm going to pee in my diaper.
Interesting question. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is a study they did. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's the worst pain you've ever experienced?
Ooh, man.
It's an interesting one.
Got to run through a list.
This tooth is pretty high up there.
Yeah.
And teeth are bad.
Teeth
dude.
Are bad.
Yeah. And I'm not a baby about a lot of different pain, but I'm a huge baby when it comes to tooth. That's like the one kind of pain that I am a huge baby about.
It's legit. Like, it's a legit pain. Boy, broken ankle was bad. That was bad for a long time, too. You ever hear of pleurisy?
I've heard of it.
It's an infection in the lining of your lungs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Every breath is like being stabbed. So you have to breathe real slow and shallow. Any deep breath, it's like somebody jabbing a knife in your ribs. It's awful. They had me on so many... That happened to me in college.
I just saw a thing that... I mean, it was on TikTok, so take it for what it's worth. But they said that the worst pain a human is capable of feeling are kidney stones.
Oh. Even more than childbirth than that?
That's what they say.
Really?
Right. I am terrified of kidney stones.
I am too.
Because I have a diet that would best be described as kidney stone encouraging.
Yes. Kidney stone enhancing diet.
Kidney stone adjacent. Yeah. Often mentioned in the same breath as kidney stones.
Yeah. Broken bones are bad. Like, it's a bad feeling.
My worst.
You start to feel like you're going to puke.
I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When I was probably 26 or 7, something like that, still in really good shape, and I was playing softball at Shaw Park. I could show you the field. Co-ed. And I was being a complete D-head. If I would have been playing against me, I would have hated me.
That's girls love it.
I was in a bad stage of my life. but I was probably the best player out there, and I was not letting anyone forget that, and just being a jerk. And I hit a home run, and I'm coming around to home, and the catcher, who is a female, was three times my size. And she was blocking the plate, so I just sort of tried to step around her, and when I did, she leaned down on my knee. And I fell down on her back, and she lifted me up and threw me, and I busted my hip, and like a spider web fracture. And you know how you say, like, I didn't even close my eyes last night. That's one night of my life, yeah. I can promise.
Yeah, no
question. I didn't close my eyes.
No.
It was just, oh, so painful.
Pointless.
Yeah. STL Kel says, worst pain, gallbladder attack. Mitch broke his collarbone.
Oh, collarbones hurt, dude.
I had that one.
That's a really, that's a sensitive.
Mine didn't heal right. It's all.
How'd you break your collarbone?
Bent the wrong way. Playing backyard football.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, collarbones are really painful. Even
17
more than
teenagers jumped on me at the same time.
Even more than some other broken bones, collarbones are bad.
Golden Globes are Sunday. The gift bags that winners and presenters get are worth $1 million.
I almost cussed. I'm so sick of it, man.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing, it's like, okay, I mean, whatever. I guess it doesn't affect me at all, but it is kind of disgusting. Like, you're having your big boozy party, patting each other on the back for like starring in movies,
mm-hmm,
and being rich and more important than everyone else. Oh, and by the way, please let us give you this gift for deigning to show up.
Please take it.
It's worth a humble $1 million. Like, yeah, I don't understand why.
Unless they would like to invite me, and then I think it's really good.
Yeah, but then it would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would be
right?
Really,
yeah,
cool.
It would be totally
different. Is if they all got those and they're like, you know what, we don't really need this stuff. We can give them to people that could put it to better use.
There are some people who do that. I think, now I'm just giving her credit for probably not doing this at all, but I think Jennifer Lawrence has done that a couple times, just like giving away. I think like they often just, I don't know if they give it away to like, you know, the unhoused or whatever, but I think most of them like don't want any of the sponsored junk that's in there, and so they just give it away.
Can you imagine being in a position where you don't take $1 million bag?
Well, it's not a bag with $1 million in cash. It's like, you know, spa trips and, you know, maybe like a watch or something.
Yeah, those would suck.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Hey, guess what? You got gifts for the holiday season.
They're not
next
like
year.
Driving down Hollywood Boulevard throwing, you know, hundreds out the window.
Girl Scout cookie season is officially here, and they have a new cookie called the Explore-mores. Supposed to taste like Rocky Road ice cream.
Yum. I like Rocky Road ice cream.
I do too. A company in Finland is launching autofocus glasses that can scan your eyes and change the prescription instantly.
That's cool.
Isn't that crazy? What a great idea, though.
Oh, yeah. That would be a life-changing invention for millions of people.
Mm-hmm. 1%. This is according to the government. 1% of the Epstein files have been released, and it's possible that only 1% has been reviewed.
Did this man do anything but send emails and traffic women?
Yeah, and all the emails are like, man, I love abusing people. It's so fun. And then the responses are like, me too.
Every single one is like, hey, did those new girls come in yet? I would love to meet those new girls. By the way, I'm a high status politician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We're a giant in industry and business.
Yeah, I am the CEO of five different companies that are household names.
Corresponding with my very best friend, Jeffrey.
And I just can't wait to get on that island, buddy.
And I don't have very long.
Welcome back, DJS 351. This shooting in Minneapolis, man, this is going to be another really big one. Wheels are just showing me video. There's a lot of video of this. If you don't know about it, there was some sort of protest going on in Minneapolis, and this woman was there. I believe she was a part of it. I believe that she was a protester, and she is trying to leave, and ICE is trying to open her door and saying, we want to talk to you. And she backs up her vehicle, minivan, and she pulls back out. And I'm just going to give you the best. You can watch it yourself. But here's the best I can give you from my perception. There is an ICE agent in front of her that she was not going to hit. But that person was trying to take a picture and then pulled his or her gun and moved. And then this lady hit the agent with the front left part of her car. And as she drives down the street, they open fire, they hit her in the head, and they kill her. And this latest video is someone who walks up on the scene claiming to be a doctor, saying that someone needs to stop the bleeding, and they pull their guns on him and say, back the F off. So I'm really trying to see it as fairly as I can. And I guess if I'm an ICE agent and I have this fresh crime scene and someone just comes walking into it, I'm going to be dubious about why they're there. Maybe they're going to hurt me. Maybe they're going to cause trouble. But I would hope that if someone identifies themselves as a doctor and I'm here to help, you've got guns, let them help. Let them see what they can do.
So, I mean, you've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen many police officers describe that once a person is no longer a threat, like you've pulled your gun, you've shot them, you've disarmed them, they're not a threat, your immediate job then is medical care.
Yes.
That's the number one job. And if someone is coming to say, hey, I'm a doctor, we need to try to help, and you tell them, get the blank back, rather than maybe frisking them, making sure they don't have a weapon, and then saying, okay, go do what you can do. Or, by the way, you know, with all of this amount of time, I don't know how much time, this is what we don't know, is how much time passed between the shooting happening and this part. All we're seeing is the aftermath. We see the car crashed into a back of another car in this new video. It's clearly shot by the person who I think lives in that in the house where you're seeing the perspective from. And there's a person sitting on the sidewalk with the dog who I think, according to the report that I'm seeing, was in the car with the woman who was shot. And that person's freaking out, which, of course. But, yeah, that's going to be a hard one to explain why you're telling somebody you can't do. And nobody is performing any first aid. There's nobody there, like, in the car trying to stop anything. They're all just standing around, guns drawn.